which one's the best crypto asset? Well, Bitcoin's the best crypto asset. Okay. What's the second best? There is no second best.
Yo, welcome to another episode of Simply Bitcoin. I'm on the move right now. I'm in the Dominican Republic. I'll be here for the next week or so. So forgive the messiness, etc. Anyways, today we have a very, very special show. We have the legendary Crypto Bastardo. He's going to join us today. We're also going to talk about El Salvador's Bitcoin bet. We're also going to talk about some interesting moves by governments and nation states trying to stop the Bitcoin revolution. So I'm joined with Javi. Let me pull him up. Javi, how you doing, brother? Looks like he might be having some trouble with his internet. I have my legendary co-host. How you doing, Opti?
What's up, Nico? I am doing good today. I'm excited that we got this show off. You were telling me this morning that we might be running late, and I was a little worried about what I was going to talk about for 10 minutes in the show. So I'm glad we got the show off right, and we got our guest in here. And I'm excited, man. I feel good this morning. I feel hyped up. I did drink a few cups of coffee, guys, so maybe I'll get a little more hyped than usual, but we're ready, man. We're here to put the signal on, and that's what we do every day. So shouts out to you guys.
Absolutely. And of course, we got our special guest, the legendary Crypto Bastardo, also known as Javi. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, guys. How are you? Thanks for having me. It's a great pleasure to be here with you guys.
Thanks for joining us, Javi. It's going to be a great show. All right, guys, let's get it rolling. I know I played the outro instead of the intro, but it's live. So you know we make mistakes because it's live, but it adds to the authenticity as well. So anyways, guys, I hope you enjoy the show. It's going to be a special one. Let's get to the numbers.
For number time.
Brought to you by Noddle. They make some of the best Bitcoin nodes, like the Noddle 1. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home. Remember, guys, if you don't run your own Bitcoin node, you're using someone else's. And now, if you're a digital nomad, you have no excuse, because you could run a Noddle node over a virtual private server anywhere around the world. Visit Noddle.eu. All right. So, that being said, let's get to numbers. Let me share my screen. Let's check this out. At the time of this recording, the Bitcoin price is at 23,110. Oh, sorry about that. Did a little switch. Sats per dollar, 4,327. Block height, 747,681. Reachable Bitcoin nodes, 15,693. The Bitcoin percentage issued, this is huge. It just hit 91%. Absolutely massive. Blocks to the halving, that day could not come any sooner. 92,319. Halving estimate, April 19, 2024. Total Lightning Network capacity is at 1,331 Bitcoin, and that is around $30.8 million. I thought it was a lot bigger than that. Anyways, hash rate, 209 exahashes, and the annual mining revenue, you want that number to continue going up. It's at $14 billion. That is the great firewall of Bitcoin. Anyways,
gotta really... Nico, before we go, bro, that percentage issued hit 91%, guys. That is my favorite number out there. Okay, continue, Nico.
That is a very, very good... That is a very good observation, Opti, at 91%. 91% of the Bitcoins that will ever exist issued already, right? We have 9% of Bitcoins that are going to be issued over the next 100-something years until the block subsidy runs out. It's going to take quite a while for that 9% to be mined. That is the beautiful halving. Anyways, I got a message. Okay. So let's check out this video by Shane Wright. Let me pull it up. Bear with us, guys. We are still learning the new Restream software. Let's check it out. Here. So Bitcoin is the new financial order. Society has suffered enough under fiat. This is Stephen Baker, and he's a conservative sitting in the House of Commons, which is like the equivalent to Congress in the United States. Anyways, let's check it out.
The problem is basically that government wants to spend too much money. It's always been the same throughout history. Governments used to want to fund wars. Now, for all good moral, decent humanitarian reasons, we want to fund health, welfare, education well beyond what the public will pay in taxes. After 15 years of studying these matters and now having made it to the Treasury Committee, I'm ever more convinced that there is no way to change the present monetary order until the ideas behind it have been tested to destruction. And I do mean tested to destruction, and it's an extremely serious issue. But it will not change until it becomes apparent that the ideas behind the system are not tenable. We should welcome the Chancellor's recent interest in cryptocurrencies and making London a real centre of financial innovation. Imperfect and possibly doomed as it may be, Bitcoin shows us that peer-to-peer, non-state money is practical and effective. I've used it to buy an accessory for a camera, perfectly ordinary legal product. It was easier to use than a credit card, and it showed me the price in pounds or any other currency I like. It is becoming possible for people to move away from state money. So what I would like to see is every obstacle to the creation of alternative currencies within the ordinary commercial law removed. We should expand the range of commodities and instruments related to those commodities which are treated like money, like gold, so exempt VAT and capital gains tax, and it should be possible to pay tax in those new monies. And we must not fall into the trap that the United States has fallen into of obstructing innovation. Finally, Mr. Speaker, we are in the midst of an unprecedented global experiment in monetary policy and debt. It is likely, as Philip Coghlan set out, that this will result in a new global monetary order. Whether it will be for good or ill, I do not know. But as technology and debt advance, I am sure we should be ready for a transformation. Society has suffered too much already under the present monetary orthodoxy. Free enterprise should now be allowed to change it.
So, absolutely crazy. Guys, I know that my internet might not be the best. I'm currently traveling, like I said, so you're gonna have to bear with me a little bit. I will be back in Puerto Rico soon enough. Anyways, so yes, that speech was from 2014, but I thought it was definitely a highlight. And the fact saying that in 2014, he must have a lot of Bitcoin, because I definitely wasn't looking at Bitcoin in 2014. Did that guy suicide himself? Definitely have to look that up. I think he was spot on in his observations. I think that we are definitely entering into a new monetary system that and Bitcoin really proves that you can have a good monetary network that is separated from state. Bitcoin has proved that. And then what you're seeing by governments with the central bank currencies and the attempt to kill Bitcoin through, you know, regulation is their attempt to stop it, right? They're not really concerned about which monetary net best. What they're really concerned about is maintaining power and control over people through controlling the currency that they use and controlling monetary policy. So, Javi, what are your thoughts on that speech? I know it was old, but it was definitely a gold one, and it was definitely something that I enjoyed playing.
It is really weird to see people talking like this in 2014, because inflation and things like that, money debasement and all the stuff was not that normal back in the day. And we today have this new policies, new ways of say things, like there is not any kind of recession. We are now naming things differently than we used it to do. So there are a lot of strange things around these ideas. And to see this happen today and countries like the United States fighting with high inflation and these kind of scenarios seems really weird, because America was like the model for all the countries around the world. So it shows that the problem is not if you are in America or in Venezuela. The problem is the system where we are living through, and the system is fiat. The fiat currencies are really going through the hell. They are designed to go through hell. So people realizing that and seeing it as a tool, and then realizing that it is all a big theater around who is the good country or which is the good way to govern the thing. So it is really good to see that we are realizing things that this guy was talking already 8 years ago. So, yeah.
Yeah, beautifully said, man. It doesn't matter what country you are, right? All the governments are reacting the same. They want to maintain power. They want to maintain their monopoly over the creation of money and therefore the control over people because they're the money that's the money that they're using. And in the process, right, governments do something very nefarious, right? Is through inflation, it's a hidden tax, right? It's like not only is there income tax, there's the hidden tax of inflation that really benefits them. And it doesn't benefit the common person, right? It really only benefits the very wealthy that have the means to save from, you know, asset inflation, right? So anyways, Opti, what are your thoughts on that video, brother?
Well, I think this is just a testament to the idea that we always say on the show and every other show is you can't stop the signal. So even if this is from 2014, the fact it's resurfacing and it isn't in more of an official atmosphere, it makes it seem, I don't know, it makes it hit harder. It's like, wow, this politician gets it. And, you know, if he's still out there orange pilling people, then that's absolutely awesome. And further, it's just crazy to hear these messages now on legacy, you know, on just standard TV, because as Bitcoiners, we talk about this so much that we get lost in our echo chambers. And to us, this is very obvious. And to us, it's, you know, it's like right in our face because this is all we talk about. But for the average person out there, they're not used to hearing these concepts. And so to have them be in an official setting where someone's telling them like, look, bro, like you can buy Bitcoin. It's not for criminals. It will save you. There is a purpose to Bitcoin. And this is the purpose. And as I always say all the time, everyone is living in our meme world and they just don't know it yet. So we just got to continue to push the message and continue to show that there is value in Bitcoin. And I say it all the time that the powers that be are the best marketers of Bitcoin. And they will, if Bitcoin is what we say they are, what it is, and the incentives are aligned as we believe them to be, then everyone will be a Bitcoiner. And this message will just get continued to be pushed into the legacy system and people will start waking up and we will start pulling people out of the matrix. So this is super bullish. You know, sometimes it takes a few years for the signal to resurface, but I think we're getting better at spreading the message. And I think this is a testament to it. So absolutely bullish. Let's go.
Bullish, always bullish. Another day in Bitcoin, incredibly bullish. Anyways, Opti, let's move on. Let's move on. Time for
the daily news
brought to you by CryptoCloaks.com. They make some of the best 3D printed Bitcoin merch, like the famous 3D printed Bitcoin grenade toy. It comes in any custom color your heart desires. This just happens to be in simply Bitcoin colors or Bitcoin colors. Or what if you like Peter Schiff, like gold? That's right, he makes it in gold, any custom color. Definitely go check out CryptoCloaks. You can take advantage of the promo code down below to get 5% off. If you're in Europe, the European store is now open. Check out CryptoCloaks.com. All right. So let's get to the news of today. And I'm going to take advantage of the fact that Javi is here because Javi actually went to El Salvador. He actually experienced it himself. So I'm going to read a little bit of this article. It's a Bloomberg article. It's the name of the video. It's the title of the video. El Salvador's Bitcoin bet is working, finance minister says. So I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to ask Javi about his personal experiences in El Salvador. And Javi's from Latin America, so I think that he's really going to be able to tell if there's actually been a change there, thanks to Nayib Bukele's government, thanks to the Bitcoin law. But anyways, we're going to get to that. Let's read the article first. El Salvador's finance minister defended the country's strategy to adopt Bitcoin as legal tender, even as critics urge the nation to ditch the experiment as the cryptocurrency world suffers through a bear market. Almost a year into the country's bet on Bitcoin, Alejandro Zelaya said the digital currency has brought financial services to a largely unbanked population and attracted tourism and investment. While its use as a means of exchange is low, he said he remains a believer in digital money and added the government is still planning to issue a Bitcoin-backed bond using blockchain technology. For some, it's something new and something they don't entirely understand, but it's a phenomenon that exists and is gaining around and will continue to be around in the coming years, Elias said in an interview on Wednesday. The government has purchased 2,381 Bitcoin with public funds, which today are worth about 50% less than what authorities paid for them. According to the calculation Bloomberg, based on tweets by President Nayib Bukele, a survey by the U.S. National Bureau of Research found that most businesses and consumers in El Salvador still prefer to use hard currency to pay for goods and services and send remittances. Now, here's, I think, a bit of propaganda. Hard currency, I would say Bitcoin is the hard currency. Anyways, and here's the signal, guys. For some reason, every time they talk about Bitcoin in El Salvador, the IMF always gets brought up. And I think that's a piece of signal right there. The International Monetary Fund has urged the nation to strip Bitcoin of its legal standing. The government is negotiating a $1.3 billion extended fund facility with the IMF, but no deal has yet to be reached. Now, here's the thing. This is what I was talking about last week, right? As we know, in Argentina, one of the conditions that the IMF gave Argentina is that the Argentinian government had to de-incentivize the adoption of Bitcoin and shitcoins in Argentina. I would not be surprised if the IMF demanded the same thing from El Salvador. And it's crazy because this whole paragraph was dedicated to not only bashing Bitcoin, but basically saying it's not being used, it's not a hard currency, and here comes the IMF of the day. The IMF has been coming to save the day for decades, and it really hasn't worked. How many times has the IMF bailed out Argentina? Of course, it doesn't get talked about because that doesn't fit the official party line. Anyways, they do a pretty good job at, you know, basically saying when he made those Bitcoin purchases. Anyways, still, Salaya said that he sees a future where it's play a bigger part. We aren't going to have results overnight. We can't go to bed poor and wake up millionaires. Like I said, new technology, people in previous years were afraid of things like websites, digital businesses, but it's been shown through time that reality imposes itself. And I completely agree. I think that they won't be able to write these hit pieces in 4 years. Let's see what type of propaganda they're going to come up with. Most likely Bitcoin's energy usage. Most likely you're going to hear more stuff about unhosted wallets and hosted wallets, right? Just all, you know, propaganda, in my opinion. Bitcoin's price dive has delayed the administration's plans to issue a $1 billion Bitcoin-backed bond, but the government still plans to push ahead with the scale when market conditions approve. Zelaya said, he said the government is still moving forward with plans to build Bitcoin City and will announce additional Bitcoin-related project in the coming months. I believe in the traditional international monetary system, just as I believe that new technologies are going to help human beings in the future. So I think making that transition is vital, and it would be wrong for us not to pursue financial innovation that could benefit El Salvador, right? So again, total hit piece. It's not talking about how much money Bitcoin is saving the El Salvadorian people in remittance fees, right? Not even using Bitcoin, the commodity, just using Bitcoin network. Of course, that isn't talked about. What's talked about is that their investment in Bitcoin is 50% down, that people are not using it, that, you know, it's causing mayhem, that it was irresponsible, that they need the IMF to bail them out, right? So it's, you know, typical BS, man. So Javi, you were actually in El Salvador, and we're gonna have a little mini interview here. You were actually in El Salvador. You were on the ground. I saw you. You were with Camila, right? You saw Max and Stacy. And what is your experience on the ground? From what I'm hearing from El Salvadorians is that they actually want to go back to their country. They actually see hope. They see a decrease in violence. They see economic opportunity when there wasn't before. Now, I know a lot of people would say, hey, that's due to just Nayib Bukele's policies and it has nothing to do with Bitcoin. But I think Kaiser always says this, right? You don't change Bitcoin, Bitcoin changes you. I know what Bitcoin has done to my life. I know it's improved my life on a psychological level. I have hope for the future, right? NVK's handle on Twitter, or his name on Twitter, is deterministic optimism, which I think is a beautiful way of putting it. So, Javi, what do you see on the ground? Am I just talking shit as a Bitcoiner? What's going on?
Well, the first thing that I want to say is that everybody that is looking at the show and that is trying to see the signal through all the noise should go to El Salvador, because all that I can say is through my own experience. But if you go there, you will be bulletproof to the BS. So that's the first thing. But I was there in November in 2021 for adopting Bitcoin and the Bitcoin Week, but also I spent 2 months this year. So it was really different, because in the first trip, it was around the Bitcoin Week and everybody was, it was really a Bitcoiner paradise. Like, I was walking in a street in El Salvador, my first time there, and someone in the street like, "Hey, Javi, how are you?" You know, that's because of Bitcoin. But that's not the normal thing that happened in the country. So I went again this year, and I only lived like a normal Salvadorian 2 days, because it is really hard to go with water and stuff that I'm already living in Venezuela. So I don't want to go to a country to live in the same situation. So then average Salvadorian will not see any really change in their life. They are more money focused. Like they have issues to maintain the things that they have to do to live a normal life. But also you have this other great thing that is happening, that even though you have low, let's say, quote, low adoption, like 20% of the people that answer this kind of surveys and stuff, 20% of a country that before of the Bitcoin law was really far, far away of what Bitcoin is and the technology and all the stuff, it's a really big number. I'm in Venezuela that back in the day was the meme, like the Bitcoinzuela, and we are the crypto nation and all the adoption, and we have all the good stuff to see the Bitcoin utility. But as you see in the ground here in Venezuela and in El Salvador, people are using it just because they want more dollars, or because they want to, let's say, save some dollars using Chivo to exchange or to receive their remittance and change them. But that's the first approach that they have. Like, it is a good way to sometimes save money and do stuff like this, but this is in general. So if you go to El Sonte, that is where Bitcoin Beach is, the things is really different there. Like, I went there with Swang Studios team, Brecky, Michael, and Natalie Brunel to record some stuff for Hard Money Show. And we were talking with normal people, like normal Salvadorans, the same that I named in San Salvador, but here in El Sonte. And they already know about Bitcoin. Like, Bitcoin is part of the things and the ideas that are around, and merchants there are really using it, even though they don't know about the last Bitcoin Twitter drama. They don't really care about uncensorable transactions or privacy or all the stuff that Bitcoin brings to the table, but they are using it. So you have really different places to go to El Salvador. It is not just El Sonte, that, as I said, is like the paradise. Like, it is a beach where you can spend your Bitcoin, and you will find a lot of Bitcoiners almost every time there. But the whole country is going through a thing that, as a Venezuelan, I have to say, it is really similar what the democracy here changed. Like, we had a really big leader, and in El Salvador, that leader is Bukele. So as far as I know, and as far as it is being right now, it is all democratic. It is all because he has a really big popular support. But the next steps that will follow that could change the way that we can see the process of Bitcoinization of El Salvador. I hope that it will be led by the Bitcoin ethos, or maybe at least for a more libertarian ethos, like, okay, I will continue being the president, but we are going to maintain a really high standard of freedom or all that stuff. But I don't know if that is what will happen. I hope so, because if El Salvador turns to be in a more autocratic way, it will be really linked to Bitcoin, as it was already when Venezuela was using Bitcoin to avoid sanctions, to pay petrol, to receive payments of oil from Turkey. And they started again to say, like, hey, they are avoiding the sanctions and all the stuff. So I hope that El Salvador will continue to involve in their own political game, that as a stranger, I won't be part of that discussion. But as it will affect how Bitcoin could be perceived and how the narrative changed. So I really hope that they will continue just to grow in this new kind of leadership that they have right now. And well, the institutions and all the stuff, democratic drama that is around, they all must be solved through the Salvadoran institution and by the Salvadorans. We as spectators, we just have to see what happens, you know. But in the Bitcoin dem thing, I think that it is just a year, and how the people is just use it to Bitcoin, and how it becomes so normal to say Bitcoin, and nobody will see you like you're a crazy guy in a country, in a third world and a developing country, in a country that was mainly known because of violence. It is really a new and different thing that is happening. And I talk with people that is really young, people that is younger than me, that they have like, I don't know, like 16 years, and they have a really different energy, and they have, yes, they have hope. Like, we can build something different. We don't have to continue living the same through the same things that our families were living. And this new kind of hope is not just because we are Bitcoiners and we are saying everything that is good because it is Bitcoin. No, it's something that is happening to them. They see, obviously, Bukele have a lot of responsibility on the how they're conceiving their country right now, but also those that are seeing Bitcoin as a tool to connect with the new tourism, the new economy that is building around some places, and all the stuff that Bitcoin opens to you, they are having hope because of this combination. And I think that Stacy said something that is really, really true right now. Like, El Salvador is flourishing because they are a really big and good combination of things happening. So we have to be part of this as Bitcoiners, going there, like trying to spread the Bitcoin message. Like, you don't have to be like a missionary or something like that, but there are a lot of people doing this work. You can just join initiatives like Mi Primer Bitcoin. You can join a Bitcoin Beach initiative, educating people around the El Sonte beaches. So if you want to take part, it is good to support these things through the internet and stuff, but if you have the means, go there, so you will have the same hope that they have, that I have now, and now you will be able to have your own opinion on if we are just doing or talking really sweet because it's Bitcoin related, or if it's really happening.
So let me ask you something else, Javi. Do you think that, so in El Sonte specifically, the reason that Bitcoin caught on was because they weren't able to get the legacy system in there. They weren't able to get credit cards. They weren't able to get debit cards. So it's like they had no choice but to use something else that would help them interact with, you know, the global financial system in some way. So they skipped that completely and they went straight to Bitcoin. And in Africa, you know, the rollout of cell phones and the internet was very similar, right? We're in the West, right? It went from telephones, hard lines, and then it was the slow rollout of cell phones. But a lot of the internet is still connected through hard lines, right? Because of where we came from. In Africa, they skipped that completely. In Africa, what's really pronounced is the use of cell phones and cell towers, right? But the hard lines isn't really developed there. They just skipped a whole step. Right. And what I see in El Zante is that they skipped a whole step as well. Do you see the rest of El Salvador transitioning to Bitcoin? Because what it sounds like to me and what I've heard also is that in La Capital, San Salvador, they're not doing that either. They're not using Bitcoin as much. Of course, all the big companies like McDonald's, Starbucks, you know, they're going to follow the Bitcoin law. They're going to accept Bitcoin payments, but the average person isn't quite there yet. Do you think that will change over time?
I think that yes, because Bitcoin is going through a bear market. So as soon as it started to boom again, it will let people to, hey, I want to get my Bitcoin and all the stuff, because it got the same experience when they roll out the Chivo wallet. The people rushing to get the $30 and then to deposit dollars to get more Bitcoin and do, I don't know, some trades on top of Chivo wallet. And I think that it will happen again because of the price, but also because of there are, I don't know if to say a lot, but I know that there are Salvadorans that are already curious about what is Bitcoin, how they can take advantage of Bitcoin right now, because it is new, it is something that is just happening in the country, so they can maybe be the first entrepreneurs to get some good business around Bitcoin and the Bitcoin services that has to be built in the Salvadoran market. So there are a lot of opportunities where I see that Bitcoin could be more like shiny in some way. Like, they find it like not only useful because it is useful right now, but the narrative around the price is not that good today, so they need like to see the little bright of the grid, you know, so the little digital rock that is shining again, and that will lead to a new wave of fever. And that wave of new fever in El Salvador will probably lead to more adoption. So we won't be talking about 20%, so maybe 30% of an economy that is really little in a country with the characteristics that we already discussed. It is a really huge number. And I think that we are kind of not going as Bitcoiners as we have to have a low type preference. Like, this is a process that would take a lot of time. They have to find the value of Bitcoin by thyself, like find why it is useful for their own lives. And I think that it will happen. It is happening right now. And you have a lot of hate and have a lot of people that is trying to misinformate what is happening there. But you also have really good Bitcoiners trying to do the work there. You have really good companies trying to do their own business, but also helping the Bitcoin adoption to flourish in the country. So again, you have a really particular good combination of things that could lead to more adoption and to lead to see places like San Salvador or places like Santa Ana or other different cities that are around the country to get more Salvador, more El Zonte style Bitcoin adoption. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Very, very bullish. Opti, what are your thoughts on this? Move on to the fail.
Well, Bitcoin is hope. And I think Crypto Bastardo, you know, emphasized that what a lot of people need in the world right now is a story that they can latch on to, something that they can believe in. And like I said, you know, I've been saying for a while is people need to know that there's light at the end of the tunnel, and Bitcoin is that light at the end of the tunnel. And El Salvador and El Zante are a shining example of what happens when people put it upon themselves to adopt Bitcoin on an individual level and then spread that out from there. And we can see that the adoption is, you know, like the bug is spreading out, and we can see other Latin American countries that are looking to adopt Bitcoin on an individual level. So I am absolutely bullish on what El Salvador is doing. I went down there myself, and I was surprised by how much people love Bukele and just how normalized it is for people to accept Bitcoin. I know in the West there's a lot of talk about, oh, what can you buy with Bitcoin? And you know, the fact that there's a thriving community down there that are willing to take your Bitcoin, that understand it as money, and you know, even some of the people that are hodling and saving Bitcoin like we do, it's just beautiful to see that the adoption is happening in real time. And like Crypto Bastardio said, it's like, we need to lower our time preference, and it's happening extremely fast in real time. But, you know, we get ahead of ourselves and like, why isn't this happening faster? It should happen faster. But absolutely bullish on El Salvador. It's a beautiful country. Definitely get down to El Zante, walk on the black sand beaches, see the waves, and go to the volcanoes. It's definitely a mecca trip for Bitcoiners. I truly love the vibes down there, and I can't wait to see what happens to the area and the improvements of the place, because Bitcoin put El Salvador on the map, and I think they are a shining example of what Bitcoin can do for your country, but also, like I always say, for the individual. And that's what we're about. Bitcoin helps the individual. Bitcoin is hope. And it's a story that people need right now. It's a dark place out there, and to see a Latin American country pull themselves up from the bootstraps with Bitcoin is just, it's the underdog story, and we all love to see it.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's very inspiring. It looks like Bitcoin is doing what it does best, bringing hope, bringing opportunity to just, it looks like it's not on an individual now. Now it's to a countrywide thing. I agree. I hope that it spreads out more people. There's more use of Bitcoin, not only in El Zante. I think we'll see that as time goes by, as the halving does its thing, right? As number go up, technology does its thing. And I think Javi's exactly right. Right now we're in a bear market, but you know, it's the bull market. It's the price going up that really gets more users in, right? It's the price going up. That's the biggest differentiator from fiat, right? Fiat, you know, your purchasing power continues to go down, even if it's ever so slightly. Whereas Bitcoin, it's a deflationary currency, meaning your purchasing power continues to increase forever, which is absolutely incredible. And that's why it gives hope for a better future. But anyways, let's move on. Opti, it's time for
The Daily Fail.
Brought to you by Swan. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack with automated Bitcoin savings plan, instant purchases, and it's serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. What we advocate for on Simply Bitcoin is dollar cost averaging, and our values align with Swan, right? They incentivize self-custody. They want you to take self-custody. They don't want you to leave it on the app. And they incentivize DCA, right? Which is, in our opinion, the best way to stack Bitcoin without, you know, speculation, whatever. Spread out the risk over a number of days. Swan.com. Awesome. Opti, what do you have for us today?
All right, guys. Well, you know I had to pick this one because this is what we do. We counter the narratives. And one of my favorite narratives is Legacy Media's PR spin of inflation. And as you can see, if you're watching the YouTube and if you're listening, I have a tweet here by Joe Weisenthal. He's a Bloomberg analyst. He's, you know, been cozying up to Bitcoiners. He's friends with Bitcoiners, and yet he puts out this garbage on Bloomberg. Anyways, here's the tweet, and he goes, "The absurd attempt by Bitcoiners to change the definition of inflation. I wrote a follow-up on how ridiculous it is to define inflation as something other than price go up as a way to salvage Bitcoin's inflation hedge narrative." So let's get into this article a little bit. I apologize, guys. I will read a little more than usual because I want to, you know, we're going to counter some of the stuff that he's saying in this. So let's just get right into
it. This is real? There's a Bloomberg article that says Bitcoiners are trying to redefine the world. Guys, this is what victory looks like. this is what winning looks like. The That's fact bad. That they had to come up. This is like, do you remember the, we covered this for such a long time, the Financial Times article, and it literally said, to stop making fun of fiat, stop calling fiat a meme, because it isn't. This is at that level of victory. It's that freaking big. Anyways.
Yes, let's get into this. So I do have an extra fail, but we might just cover this one. But so here, let's get into this. This is Joe Weisenthal on Bloomberg, and it's titled, Bitcoiners are trying to redefine the word inflation. So again, guys, I will read some of this stuff, and then we'll talk about it. So these days, there's a lot of arguing about the definition of the word recession, whether we're in one. And to be honest, you can understand both sides. So consumer sentiment is pretty terrible right now. And given that two quarters of negative GDP is a common dictionary definition of a recession, it seems reasonable to say that we're in one right now following the negative data release last week. But as we've been telling you guys for weeks now, on the other hand, the National Bureau of Economic Research has for a long time been the official arbiter of a recession in the US, and also economic activity such as consumption, employment, and in investment has been growing all year. So there's also good reason to not characterize the current environment as a recession. So just about everyone can agree that inflation is very high right now, with several measures at levels that haven't been seen in around four decades. And this shouldn't be controversial, but actually there is some controversy. There's a cohort of Bitcoiners now arguing that we're not actually experiencing inflation right now. I haven't heard that, but okay. Anyway, seems weird, right? Bitcoiners are always going on about inflation, and now it's finally here. Except the problem is that Bitcoin has performed very poorly over the last 7 or 8 months. Again, zoom out. And for years,
Hold on. Because you got to connect. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Javi. You got to connect the dots, right? Remember that article that we just covered from Bloomberg, right? The only thing they focused on was on Bitcoin's price, the fact that it goes down. Right. It's again, you have two separate articles, both from Bloomberg, part of the whole, you know, the old. You have to understand the mind of your enemies. This is what they read. They read the Financial Times. They read Bloomberg. Right. So it's a narrative. Right. It's like, look, it sucks. Inflation isn't real. What's real is Bitcoin's price went down. Right. So again, I don't know how long they'll be able to put up with this, because as we know, never go up. Technology goes up and to the right. And inflation goes down into the right forever. Anyways, Opti, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Dude, let's give him the signal. I am okay with this. And for years, Bitcoin was promoted as an inflation hedge. And so it's kind of a narrative wrecker that the price is doing so badly these days. So rather than going back to the drawing board and come up with a new reason to own Bitcoin, the answer some have settled on is to redefine inflation to something else. And then he links to some articles that say inflation is not actually about price going up, but rather inflation is about increases in money aggregates like the M2 money supply. And then he continues to go on and has another link showing that Bitcoin's market cap has risen and fallen with some measure of the global money supply. And again, he, you know, adds some stuff and he goes, let's just say for a moment that the chart is basically true and that historically Bitcoin has in fact moved in tandem with some measure of money supply. That's still not a good defense of this redefining of inflation. It goes back to the question of why people would want to own an inflation hedge anyway. The reason people might want to own an inflation hedge is because it's bad when prices of things you buy go up. It will hurt your standard of living. And so the idea is that you want to own some kind of asset that will rise during such periods to offset these increases. That's the point of a hedge, to protect against something that's bad. Talking about hedging against money supply makes no sense, because an increase in the money supply isn't necessarily bad. Okay, Joe. Contrary to what some Bitcoiners seem to believe, there's no reason to think that something bad happens to you when M2 or M3 goes up. Remember what Nico said earlier, inflation is a hidden tax because it's stealing your wealth slowly. Okay, Joe. Anyways, sometimes an increase in a monetary measure can presage an increase in consumer prices, in which case something bad might happen as a result of the increase in the money supply. But this is far from a consistent thing. He goes on, going back to periods of more normal inflation, we saw a big year-on-year jump in M2 in 2011 in the wake of the great financial crisis, but inflation remained fairly mild and the increase didn't last very long. Remember how we tell you guys how CPI is easily manipulatable? Just going to drop that in there. There was also a big gap in 2009 when M2 soared while inflation went down, and also the timing of the relationship is suspect and inconsistent. The point is, if you look at the above chart and think there's any meaningful relationship between these measures of money supply and the actual prices of goods, you're squinting too hard. And again, the only reason to hedge is against something bad happening. Perhaps you could argue that if these M measures just keep going up too much, then the entire fiat system will collapse and leave Bitcoin as the sole survivor. But this is really just an extreme version of price inflation. And beyond that, if that's the bet, then it undermines the idea that Bitcoin did its job in 2021. Zoom out. Anyways, now some might argue Bitcoin isn't a particularly good consumer price hedge, but is a hedge against asset inflation. Inflationistas used to talk a lot about asset inflation in the old days because stocks and bonds and real estate were the only things really going up. But here's the thing, you don't need a hedge against asset inflation because you can just buy, well, the assets. If there's some set of conditions causing stocks, bonds, and real estate to go up, you can just buy stocks, bonds, and real estate. The fact of the matter is that there's a commonly understood definition of the word inflation, and many people bought Bitcoin after being told that it was a hedge against inflation due to its fixed supplies. And over the last year, while prices of all kinds and goods have shot up, owning Bitcoin has made you poorer rather than richer. That's probably not what people sign up for when they bought in. And he's got this meme here, and he goes, what do your foster parents do? This is Terminator. They laser eyes Bitcoin shills. So he calls the parents, what is the definition of inflation? And the shill goes, hi honey, it's when prices go up. And Terminator goes, your foster parents are dead. So,
they're using our warfare. They're using our methods of warfare. You have Bloomberg literally putting memes in their articles to try to keep up with our memetic warfare, and they're fucking losing. This is what victory feels like. Savor it. Experience it. Feel it. This is winning. We're winning anyway.
Let's go. Okay, so to just clarify with Joe here, what is the definition of inflation that most Bitcoiners talk about when we talk about inflation? And of course, I'm going to go to Mises.org. And as you can see, this article is from 3/06/2002. So we're not redefining terms. We are using the terms as they are correctly supposed to be used. So is inflation about price rises? And we go, the fundamental problem here is a failure to define the problem properly. For example, the definition of human action is not that people are engaged in all sorts of activities, but that they are engaged in purposeful activities. Purpose gives rise to an action. Similarly, the essence of inflation is not a general rise in prices, but an increase in the supply of money, which in turn sets in motion a general increase in the prices of goods and services. Consider the case of a fixed money supply. Whenever people increase their demand for some goods and services, money will be allocated towards other goods. Thus, the prices of some goods will increase, i.e. more money will be spent on them, while the prices of other goods will fall, i.e. less money will be spent on them. If the demand for money increases against goods and services, there will be a general fall in prices. In order for an economy to experience a general rise in prices, there must be an increase in the money stock. With more money and no change in money demand, people can now allocate a greater amount of money for all goods and services. Inflation is a general increase in the money supply. So, of course, I'm going to find some Bitcoiners that I like to dunk on this article. And who better than Alan Farrington? And he goes, in all caps, so you know it's serious, the absurd attempt by Bitcoiners to insist on the original meanings of words and reject their propagandist redefinitions, which is entirely obvious, by the way, by thinking for 5 seconds about why that word was chosen as a metaphor for the phenomenon it describes. And furthermore, guys, we covered Paul Krugman yesterday, and he himself is doing some redefinition of stuff. So I wanted to add this in here because it's a message that Nico is saying right now during this article. This is us winning, and this is them trying to redefine what terms mean so that they can spin this in a PR moment so that, you know, the noobs out there can find the party line and bite it hook, line, and sinker. So remember what I said yesterday about Paul Krugman when we played that video? And Krugman goes, since I get lots of mockery for having talked about a Biden boom, I thought I'd share a chart. And it's cumulative jobs added, and it looks like, you know, Biden has more jobs than Trump. And he goes, the problem may be that the Biden economy boomed too much, feeding inflation, and that it now needs to cool off, which may involve a recession, but hasn't yet. And I really like this comment. And he's paraphrasing. TLDR, you're going broke because you're too rich, you see. Guys, we said this all week, and we will continue to say it. They need to redefine what these terms mean because the cat is out of the bag. We are winning this meme war, and our narrative is being pushed far and wide. You can't stop the signal, and this is them trying to stop the signal any way possible. So what are they going to go do? They're going to roll out their PR media. They're going to use our techniques, like Nico's saying. They're going to try to use memes to tell you fake news, but we know what is really going on. Bitcoin is truth, and you cannot fight truth. Hence why our memes are winning and why we are winning this war, because it is an information war, or as I've been saying, it's a disinformation war. You are battling the disinformation with truth, and truth will always win in the end. Anyways, I know I went a little long. We're cutting our time short. So Nico, Javier, what's up? What are your guys' thoughts on this? I know you already went in, Nico.
I'm glad that you went a little long, bro, because you really highlighted today something really important, right? Is that memetic warfare is working. You have the Financial Times and now Bloomberg, and Bloomberg's the craziest. They're stooping down and using our means to try to convey a message, and they will fall out. They will fall right on their face, and that's exactly what they're doing. That article will age like milk. Yes, fine, you're right. In the short term, Bitcoin's extremely volatile. It needs to be volatile for the number to go up the way that it does. Over a period of 3, 4, 5 years, let's touch back and let's see how effective Bitcoin is at not only hedging yourself from inflation, escaping from inflation. Anyways, Javi, what are your thoughts, brother?
One of the things that these new things happening in the narrative in America is that I already saw this happening here in Venezuela. Like at the start of the hyperinflation, they just hit the inflation numbers and stopped to share any kind of numbers around what inflation, the real inflation was. And then they started to try to meme why it was good to create more money to give to the poor people that were suffering because of what was happening to the economy. And then it became in a big spiral of shit because anybody really believed. I think that there are people that are still supporting the Chavismo, but the normal and middly smart people are really not. So when you start to realize that these concepts are really void, they don't have any mean in any way. They can say that there is no inflation because they have the means to put out this meme around that there is no inflation, there is no recession, there is anything like that. This already happened here in Venezuela. So the thing that I said at the start is these things were happening here in Venezuela because we were a really weak economy, and we have the struggle of the Chavismo that is a cancer. But it is not just because of those political elements. It is because of a systemic failure that is in how fiat system works. So that's what we are seeing, the same patterns now in America, the country that was the model to all the countries. So it is really the same thing happening again. Like I'm seeing the same thing that I already lived through, but now it's your turn, guys. So I hope the cheat don't hit the fan so hard, but Bitcoin is the thing that I think that many people will realize that is the only tool to get rid of the bullshit that these guys are going to talk a lot.
It's truth in a world full of lies. I think that was so freaking spot on. Anyways, Opti, let's go to the favorite part of the show of everybody, where they make us feel uncomfortable. It's time for
the Daily Meme Review.
brought to you by Citadel 21. It's the best Bitcoin culture zine in stories, articles, comics by actual Bitcoiners. This is the artwork for Volume 10. This is the artwork for Volume 11. And this is the artwork for Volume 2. Volume 2 is almost sold out because there's only 1,000 physical copies made per volume. Guys, get your physical prints of Citadel 21 today before they run out.
Let's go, all guys. Right. So, before I get into this, make sure you send us your meme review so that we can get your meme score on the show. So, first and foremost, I got our memes here. This is the first one by @dingdong3001. And I really felt this one because I fully agree that once you understand what Bitcoin is, there's no going back. And he goes, there's no way back. Once you've seen, you cannot unsee. And I really think this is hinting on there's a meme of like, once you stare into the void stares back at you. And man, Ding Dong really hit that one on the head. And of course, the fake Toshi memes are making the rounds on Twitter, so I had to add a few. And this one's by Krail, @TheKrail, and he goes, steal his look. We got a navy blue jacket for 150 pounds. We got navy blue pants for 70 pounds. We got a blue shirt for 30 pounds. We got a microphone for 350 pounds, a silver ring for 25 pounds, and the fake Toshi reputation for 1 pound. And to add on that theme, I got this one from Xinhua, and he goes, to celebrate Hoke Toshi's court win, I thought a little cake might be in order. And it's simply a picture of pound cake. Simple yet poignant. And then yesterday, I hope you guys saw that we dropped a new skit, a skit by Yellow and BitVolt. But I really loved this meme that CryptoClux dropped on us. And he goes, Rick, where did you get a hand grenade? And it's CryptoClux, because everyone loved the hand grenade in that skit hitting Nico in the head.
The hand grenade is a toy, by the way. It's a toy.
Okay, and the next one is by @BestBitcoinMeme. This is a template that I really like. And it goes, don't you already have enough Bitcoin? And he goes to pull the sword and it goes, yes. And it goes, yesterday I sold my chair for more Bitcoin. Let's go. And then this is the classic Bitcoin Twitter template. And it's people cutting a cake. And it goes, Bitcoiners doing productive things. And it's me shitposting. And it's a guy supposedly acting like he's cutting the cake, but there's no knife. And it goes, #IAmBuilding. So guys, oh, I forget. Okay, my meme score is, oh, you can't even see me. Okay, 1 second, guys. My meme score is the charger that I'm using for my camera to not go out on me, and it is going out on me because it's overheating. I will figure this out for you guys. This is a battery charger. I had it plugged in, Nico. I don't know what's going on. You're going to have to school me on how to make sure this camera doesn't get wrecked on me.
We will take it. We will take it one of the other. This used to happen to me all the time, and when it started happening to Opti, he's like, I know how you feel. Anyways, for those scores, I'm going to give it this Dominican hotel room. That's my score. Anyways, Avi, what would you give those memes?
I think that you can go with this.
Oh,
yes.
PlayStation controller. That's a good scores. Anyways, guys, we want to know, what would you give those meme scores? Let us know down in the chat. First, Sean B says, I give it a solid Opti overheat. That's a good one. And Andrew gives it, my meme score is Opti's blank screen. Those are good. Shed boy, I can't read that. I'm not going to read that. Anyways, good scores. Good scores overall. Guys, join our Telegram group. Stay until after the show. Opti and Jacob from Swan are doing a Twitter Spaces, and maybe Javi joins us as well. And Mr. Robot gives it a 1 cup of Pelosi's fiat tears. Awesome scores. Awesome scores. Anyway, Opti, let's move on to the pleb sites. All right, before we go to the pleb sites, Opti always forgets. I want to give a very special shout out to our awesome sponsor, CypherSafe. CypherSafe is the best place to store your seed. Don't store your seed on paper. Paper is prone to dogs, fire, water. You want to store your seed on metal. Get yourself a Cypher grid or a Cypher wheel. If you put your seed on metal, it ain't going anywhere. Anyways, I'm going to bring back Opti. Opti, why don't you tell everybody about
Nico,
the website, by plebe?
We need to upload the skit so that I don't continue to cut you off on our ad. But you guys can see on the screen, shouts out to the Meme Factory that doesn't exist. Go check out their website, memefactorytm.com. There's a bunch of nuggets in here, and I'm not going to click on any of this stuff because we are on YouTube, and who knows what will pop up. But definitely go check out the Meme Factory, guys. Go check out their podcast as well. We love the boys and girls over at the Meme Factory. And of course, listen to us on our audio only platforms on Spotify, Anchor, Apple. And of course, we are on Fountain, on the Value for Value economy. If you think we are providing you value with this show, guys, we will take your sats. Stream us sats. We appreciate all the love. We will continue to give you guys the signal. Thanks for your time. And just, you know, keep sharing and liking our videos, guys. We love you. We appreciate it. Back to you.
Awesome. All right, guys. That was our show. Before we go, I want to give a quick shout out to Crypto Bastardo for coming on, also known as Javi. He is the host of the Satoshi in Venezuela YouTube channel. Definitely go check it out. He also does a YouTube show with Camila Campton on the Swan Signal channel. Definitely go check out those channels. Give Javi a follow. Guys, that was our show. If you enjoyed it, definitely give us a smash like. Definitely subscribe to Simply Bitcoin. Bear with me. I am traveling. I'll be traveling for the next 3-4 days. So the connection might be a little choppy, but we will still bring you guys the signal. Thank you all for joining us.